may be seated. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Make sure my little sister have a Bible on Galatians chapter 3 for me. Who's going to do that for me? Make sure my little sister have a Bible with Galatians chapter 3. Some of y'all boys take care of that for me. What they're doing now, little sister, they're sowing. That's a manifestation that came into the spirit world. God gave me a revelation on money coming because the body of Christ was so broke financially. And so with that revelation came the anointing to sow. And when you sow a seed, it produces a harvest. And that's what's going on now. A lot of times people don't even know what's going on. Galatians chapter 3. You need to be there because we're going to deal with something very important this morning. I'm so happy for your marriage this morning. But that was, that's an anointing, you see. That was an anointing. That wasn't just a talk, you know. Amen. In the backdrop of our text, one of the greatest apostles that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, in the drop, you had Galatians 3, right? In the backdrop of this text is sometimes you start out right and end up wrong. In between, you get thrown some kind of way. And the suffering that the believer, that the church had been going through, the sickness and diseases, the limitations that we have lived, even though we come, we praise God, we pay our tithes, and we, you know, rejoice in the Lord, but the church had been with lack of evidence of the creative miracles, of signs and wonders of the kingdom of God, okay? We have not, we know we have not, especially in the Western culture, we have had no evidence. Amen. Now, we get people saved. Thank God, that's the highest thing. We get people saved. But yet, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe, right? Okay, and while we're going through so much hardship in the church and suffering and various things we're going through is because God's original plan is not functioning. God's original plan is not functioning in the church. We've had other things come in to take his original plan place. And so what he has decided to do, God has decided to do, is bring his original plan back to the church for those who are willing to accept it. And so instruction is so important. Spiritual instruction, properly given, is so important because it's sort of like a cord to the mystery, a cord to the might of God. Because actually the word mystery and mighty is the same word. So if you don't get the divine cord of life from what all God did for us, properly orchestrated, you live just like a regular person. Okay? And so I want to put you in a position, Lord, I want to put you in a position this morning that you can go into full dividend of what is rightfully yours as a child of God, that you can help other people. Other people need help. Other people need to hear the word and understand what it means. As the sister said, I'm a Muslim. I want to know what it means to be a Christian. Well, most Christians don't know what it means, sister. I'm trying to tell all y'all at the same time. Because we got so far behind with man's ideal and man's revelation without God's revelation that the church been stunted. And so the Bible talks about what Jesus began to preach and teach, but it also said what he began to do also. So there's a doing that goes along with preaching and teaching. Now, the dropback here is these people have got away from, and I think it's the Western church in here, when I say that, these people got away from the way. They have got away from the way, and they think they're in the way. And so Satan is destroying them because they've turned from their first love. Galatians chapter 3, it's a strong word. That Apostle Paul used a strong word. Second word, he used a strong word. You know, we get ready, that's fighting words there, you know. But he wanted them to take on the fact that y'all have got away from something that have cut your power. All right? Now watch what he says now. O foolish Galatian, who have what? Bewitch you. That means trick you, deceive you, a distraction has come from the real thing. That you should not obey the truth. That you should not what? Come on, Claire. Obey the truth. You have to obey the truth for the truth to manifest. So Satan knows that, so he set up a lie, a substitute. I got to get this out because a lot of points I'm going to give you in a few moments. He set up a lie and a substitute. You can't obey the truth if you don't know the truth. Hello? Hello? Then he tells what is the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And I questioned, that voice actually is a question. He questioned them. He said, do you know the truth? The truth is in Jesus. The truth of salvation, the truth of heaven, the truth of victory, the truth of deliverance is in Jesus Christ. And what he did at the cross. Hello. That's the truth. Now, all this modern stuff, that's the truth. That's where the church must stick her ankles at. Jesus died for me. So he goes on to say, this only what I learn of you, second verse, receive you the spirit by the works of the law, by the end of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Now, verse 5, tell us something else about the supernatural, about the movement of God. God is a movement, the moving of the spirit. He therefore that ministers to you the spirit and what? Worketh miracles among you, do as he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. See, they went off to doing it themselves, went up to performance, entertainment, talent, different things they could do, and they left the man thing, they left the blood. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to your house.
Come on, Dad.
Yeah, we're going to your house today. They left the blood, and so the insufficiency that we're suffering from in the body of Christ is that we don't have a true revelation of the cross. Yes, so I want to talk about this morning for a few moments as we study. The cross releases the explosion of the supernatural. The cross releases the explosion of the supernatural. In other words, creative miracles, signs, wonders, provision, whatever it is, raising people from the dead. You know, thank God we have four people raised from the dead in our ministry. You know, and miracles after miracles are happening. I'm going to a city next week, Richmond, Virginia. I just see the Lord already told me, prepare like an astronaut. He said you about to go places you've never been before. So, you know, you need that suit on, all that for astronaut. You know how they train them astronauts before they go, you know. He told me in my night watch, he said, prepare, I want you to prepare for Richmond, Virginia as an astronaut. So the cross releases the explosion of the supernatural. Now let's talk a minute now. I've said to you, if you stuck anywhere in life, and many of us stuck, How many of y'all are stuck in some place you want trying to get out? Trying to get out. If you're stuck, you're in the natural. I told you that, right? Anywhere a Christian is stuck is somewhere they're not hearing the voice, somewhere they're not receiving instruction, somewhere they're not understanding what God's trying to get them to do. If you're stuck, you're stuck. You're stuck in your body. You're stuck in your finances. You're stuck in your understanding. You're stuck in your relationship. Anywhere you're stuck in the natural. We got that? We got that? Do you have that?
Yes,
you see, because the supernatural cannot be stuck because that's God. See, you are created with an appetite for the impossible. Okay, because you're a child of God. But so many Christians are stuck in different ways now. And so what we're going to do is take you through that again, because in the supernatural, you excel. You exceed. Let me show you a supernatural voice, and we'll come back. Let me show you a supernatural voice. See Ephesians 3:20? Ephesians 3:20 is a supernatural voice. Great, turn there, Ephesians 3:20. It's a supernatural voice. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask. But I ain't living like that, Reverend. Ain't no exceeding abundant all that the acts thing. It ain't just talking about material things. It's talking about joy. It's talking about peace. It's talking about life. It's talking about victory. It's talking about everything. See, Ephesians 3:20 is a supernatural voice. You can read it all you want. If you don't know how to function in supernatural, you'll never have it. Do it look like Ephesians 3:20? Y'all looking at you? Where y'all at? Ephesians 3:20. Where them phone stuff at? Come on, text it out. You text everybody else. Text Jesus. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Come on, we want to read this. Come on, quick. Now, come on. Now, you notice what he said. Look at the conclusion of that voice. According, I'm going to make a statement now. That's supernatural. See, the supernatural have to have something to work through. Understanding, wisdom, insight, which only the Holy Spirit can give us. You understand? And then the Lord, now the Lord is able to do exceeding. Why are you not exceeding? Why are you not excelling? Well, it takes an understanding of the natural realm, the supernatural realm, and then these three dimensions. I keep telling you over and over, I got to teach you. Faith, the anointing, and the glory. Faith, the anointing, and the glory. Now, the church knows a whole lot about faith and anointing, but it doesn't know much about the glory. And so the glory is where great manifestations start coming. I think I need to read something to you about the glory before I go to giving these points. The administration of the glory after the effect of the cross is greater than the glory that Moses seen. There's a scripture that talks about how glorious this administration is, the church age, the kingdom of God. I have that, and I need to look at that because we've been distracted from God's glory. And so we have not seen the explosion that we need to see because we've been distracted to something else. Are you following me?
Yes,
you're with me? You're still with me, right?
Yes, sir.
Look in 2 Corinthians. Let's look at this a minute. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to show you something. You should be excelling in life, but you're not. Most Christians are not excelling, and that's why these people join, like this young girl, yeah, they get into other organizations because the church ain't doing nothing. At least you can wear a white shirt like the Jehovah's Witness do and a necktie. Yeah, that's what I said.
Yep.
Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, now verse 7, but it's talking about the administration of death. The law was death. Grace is life. All right? Now, watch it says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone, talking about the Ten Commandments, was glorious, you see that? He said it was glorious, but it was the ministration of death because the commandment couldn't give no life. All right? And nobody couldn't keep them. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. When Moses asked the Lord to show him the glory in Exodus 33, they couldn't stand to look at him. Then it says at the end of verse 7. What it says at the end of verse 7? All right, what's glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Are you still with me? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness, underline that, exceed in glory. See, when you talk about the supernatural, we're talking about exceeding in glory. We're talking about exceeding in manifestation, in power. Verse 10 says, even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect. Now, Moses opened the Red Sea. They've had bread from the sky. They've had quails. They've had all kind of came against the enemy, flies and all kind of stuff. And he says, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Now, that's the word again, exceeded, excelleth. We're talking about exceeding. You see, when you go in the supernatural, you excel. Yeah. Not when you go to church. So we've been going to church, but we haven't been excelling because we have not known how to yield to the glory, and we're not known how to function in the supernatural. A lot of preaching and teaching with no doing. We need some evidence. That girl needs some evidence. She don't need just reading the Bible to her. She need to know the God. God, sweep down here and do something. Say, wow, that's the God I want to serve. Everybody can preach a little outline. They're preaching little outlines all over the world today because they won't submit to the power of God. So the cross, now the real revelation of the cross is Jesus Christ and him crucified. All right? Now the cross releases the explosion of the supernatural. Yes, the explosion now. The crucifixion, his death, Christ died on the cross for us. His burial, come on, if it explode. The resurrection, that's an explosion. His ascension, how about him taking off and going back to glory? That's an explosion of his power. His seated position. All right, let's talk about it. His sending of the Holy Spirit. Is that an explosion? You better believe it, whether you know it or not. He sent us the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as a teacher, as a guide, as a strengthener, as a standby. Then in there is the birthing of the church. The birthing of the church is in that explosion that took place at the cross. We became, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Come on. And all things become new. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You'll be witnessing to me, to Jerusalem and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. That's an explosion. And then not only the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, seated position, sending of the Holy Spirit, birth of the church, and the coming rapture. Jesus coming back again. Yeah, yeah. So let's get some points under this. The preaching of the cross attracts the Lord's glory. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of the revelation of what Christ did on the cross, that's what the cross means, you see. It attracts God's glory. And notice the church now, you turn your TV on, they ain't preaching the cross. They're preaching principles. You do this, God don't do that, you do this, and God don't do that, but God don't do it. Notice this fact. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. Maybe that's where you are. That's where you are? No, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I want to read these scriptures over again to you. We've got to get an understanding of the cross, what the validity of the revelation of the cross mean. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, everybody here? It says in the, I want to, what Paul said, look at what Paul said, 2 and 2. Paul said, I made my mind up. Nothing else worked. These elaborate speeches and these beautiful buildings ain't doing nothing for me. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you. I'm determined. I've made my mind to know not anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's a wrap. Paul said, I don't want to know nothing else. Don't bring me no other revelation. If that revelation don't come under this foundation, it's not a revelation from God. In other words, this God-man work. So I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And because of that, I preach different. I preach out of weakness and fear. I preach trembling. I'm not proud in my preaching. I preach trembling because I know that you can't really preach unless somebody help you. I know no power going to come if I preach on my own ability, on my own strength. So I decide to preach through my infirmity and let the grace of God do something for somebody who listened to me preach. So he says, he talked about it, and said, by his preaching being my voice full, and my speech and my preaching was not but enticing words of man's wisdom. You see, now this is what we have in the church. Paul said, but I preach out of, go back to the third verse. I was with you in weakness and in fear. Not natural fear now. Not religious fear, not the fear of men. This is a reverential fear, you see. And in much trembling, and then he talked about it, but in demonstrating of the Spirit and the power, in the fourth verse. But in demonstrating of what? Demonstrating the Spirit of power. Now I want to take you to a verse now. And then I'll give you some things that the Lord showed me. Voice 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that come to naught. Mm-hmm. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Still talking about the cross now. Even a hidden wisdom which God ordained, watch it, before the world unto what? Unto our glory, unto our manifestation, unto our rights as Christian, unto our glory. And then he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, look what they call him, look what he called him now. They wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Say the Lord of glory. The Lord. Jesus is the Lord of glory. And he, when he came, he is making a presentation of the Father. Note the fact of the scripture, God made Jesus the Lord of glory. And he actually is today the Lord of all. So watch this now. I want you to get this. Look, don't wander. Don't wander today. Satan has distracted the church from the reality of the cross to his virgin. Talk to me. Satan has distracted the church from the reality of the cross to his virgin. He gave us a version of what the cross meant. Why? So you'll never know the real virgin. Go further than that. You listening?
Yes, sir.
Satan have distracted the church from the reality of the cross to his virgin to block the power of the Lord's glory, miracles, signs, and wonders. Did you hear that? Let me go over it again now. See, because I have been aiming to tell you that the cross is not the wooden beam. The cross is not the medal you have around your neck. The cross is the finished work of Christ. What he did at the cross. Paid for my sin. Gave me eternal life. Made me a new man. You follow what I'm saying? See, because you get stuck on the wood, stuck in the emblem, you'll miss the revelation. The power is not in the symbol of the cross. The power is in Christ, who died on the cross. Come on, y'all talk to me in here now. See, So watch what he did now. Watch it. Satan have distracted the church from the realities of the cross. Realities, I got it, plural, of the cross to his virgin. To block the power of the Lord, to block the glory, to block the miracles, to block the sign, and to block the wonders. See? Satan won't dress the cross up. The cross ain't dressed. But he was wounded for my transgression. Bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace upon him and with his stripes. What? I'm healed.
Yes, sir.
It ain't no pretty thing. It's a suffering. It's a consequence had to be paid. But yet we need to understand the revelation of it. Now, as we return to the cross, to the resurrection, to the ascension, to the seated position, to the sending of the Holy Spirit, and the expectation of the rapture, we're going to see God move. God's original plan will come forth in the church and through the church. And God's original plan, I want to look at two scriptures now. Romans 1:17 and 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're supposed to be doing two things now. Romans 1:17, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're supposed to be doing two things now. We're supposed to be living from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Otherwise, we're supposed to be living from faith to faith, from manifestation to manifestation. Or we're supposed to be living from faith to faith, from supernatural to supernatural. That's what we're supposed to be. Both scriptures. The one say that yes, you live by faith, and they say from faith to faith. Then the other one said we should be living from glory to glory. Do y'all see that in them two voices? Huh?
Yes,
no, y'all not answering me good enough.
Yes,
you see in Romans 1:17, he talked about from faith to faith.
Yes,
does it say it?
Yes, sir.
Does it say it?
Yes,
all right, go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. You with y'all again? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Bring them all in here. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It talks about from glory to glory there. From manifestation to manifestation, from demonstration to demonstration, from miracle to miracle, from sign to sign, from wonder to wonder. That's the way you're supposed to be. You need to be a sign and a wonder yourself. Not wondering how you're going to make it. You're supposed to be multiplying the five loaves. May the Holy Ghost come in this place in the next 15 minutes. It's time to rise to the Lord of glory. Let the grace of the cross flow, which is miracles, signs, and wonders. You got it? Now, see, I want to see who will agree with me on this. The church will not effect these times without supernatural evidence, manifestation, and demonstration. Let me say it again. Everybody can preach. Everybody can preach. Everybody can read the scripture. Everybody can tell stories to take place of the glory. The church will not affect these times without supernatural evidence,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Manifestation, and demonstration. Talk to me.
Amen.
Why? Why? Because the computer got everybody's attention. The iPad is stronger than the church. Texting becomes stronger than a text. Oh, my. Oh, my. You heard that? Texting becoming stronger than a text. Unless the manifestation and the demonstration come out of the text. You can talk about chapter 9, verse 6, all you want. Unless the manifestation and demonstration come out of it, the texting is better than the text.
Yeah.
The letter without the spirit is dead.
Right.
But when God starts manifesting himself,
yeah,
who need a computer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When a woman was dying with cancer and had 10 days to live,
yeah,
and God walk in and heal her body, who need an iPad?
Oh,
It's not I be him, it's I be him. He's the one. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the Lord. I am who I am.
That's good preaching, Dad.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I say, do you follow what I'm saying? See, now sit down. You need to write this down because you need to understand this. As a Christian, you need to be in this position. The believer, let me use the believer. The believer will not affect these times without supernatural evidence.
That's right.
Manifestation and demonstration.
Gotta have. Gotta have. No other way. Come on, Dan.
You want witness about Christ and they're taking your house.
Uh-oh.
You want witness about Christ, you can't hardly walk. Now, I'm going to say something. I want every preacher in the world to hear me. The days of just preaching and teaching without doing is over. The days of just preaching and teaching without doing is over. Your church is going to be empty. Now, here's some things we have to replace. Skepticism. Did she really get healed? The woman said she got healed, didn't she? Legalism and carnality are blockers of the revelation of the cross. Skepticism, legalism, and carnality. Skepticism, legalism, and carnality. Skepticism, legalism, and carnality blocks the revelation of the cross. Here's what we have to come to. Say it. Here's what we have to come to. Expectation, manifestation, and demonstration. Then we'll be able to understand the work of the cross better. Listen, I want to remind you, don't let this happen to you. But if we continue to flow in skepticism, legalism, and carnality, because this is what has been happening in the Western culture church. They have been rehearsing the story without the glory. They have been rehearsing the story without the glory. In other words, they've been telling a good story, but it never manifested. It never was demonstrated. Hello. Ouch. Having information without revelation. Operating in academics and regular knowledge with no manifestation or demonstration.
Wow, Lord.
Now, the cross of Christ is the only source of the supernatural.
Thank you, Lord.
The only source of the supernatural is the cross, all right? Outside of the cross, everything else is false power.
Yes, sir.
Satan can put on a show now. Yeah, he operating the supernatural. That's why you got to know the truth. Outside of the cross, and this is the church, I'm just going to say it. Outside of the cross, anything else is false power we are going to have is formalism, tradition, or any other thing that is compared to religion.
Wow.
The devil can do supernatural things. He can do signs and wonders. We know that by Moses' serpent, his serpent. So, to protect ourselves, or to protect us, we need to know that the cross is the only source of genuine supernatural power. And we can't, I'm telling you right now, you members of this church, y'all can't get afraid. Y'all gonna see some stuff. But it's real, but you've been in religion so long, you say, oh, I don't know about that. What is the cross? I got to go over this again. First, people think hanging the cross around their neck has power or put them up in churches or places them here or there have power. Ain't got no power. The physical cross in itself does not have power.
Come on,
The cross is the sacrifice that Jesus offered on our behalf. You listen to me? Jesus offered on our behalf at the cross with all the consequences and the benefit. The cross, wooden cross itself, represent a curse. Because the scripture said, curses, they wanted it hanging on a tree. And if I keep hanging around that wooden cross, I got to tell you, it's a revelation. But what we exalt when we speak of the power of the cross is the perfect work that Jesus did at the cross. Amen?
Amen.
I say amen.
Amen.
We're not exalting the wood. The cross is the sign of the curse. But what we should want to know, the revelation of what Jesus did for me, the perfect finished work of the cross. Now, see, can you agree with this? Not because, you know, because I know it's true. The majority of believers do not have a revelation of the cross. You listening? Listen very carefully now. That is the reason they can't claim something they don't know. So if they don't have a revelation of the cross, they can't claim the supernatural. They can't claim a miracle. They can't, because the cross is the source of it. So if Satan will give you an alternative version, and you believe in you're in power, but you're not in power because you don't know the truth. At the cross, Jesus shut the devil down. He shut, as far as I'm concerned, he shut hell down. He shut death and grave and sickness and disease, poverty, limitation. All was shut down at the cross. And when he got up the third day, he stamped the approval. It's done. It's finished. My, my, my. Now, I'll tell you this till you get it. The cross brings forth two important facts. Number one, at the cross, Jesus provided total and complete provision for every believer. Total and complete provision for every believer. Say it. Total and complete provision for every believer. In other words, God is there for you. And I'm talking about the best. I ain't talking about no Walmart and Pack-a-Sack. Y'all remember Pack-a-Sack? Those little stores you stop when you ain't got nowhere else to go. Are you hearing me? Why are so many Christians sick? Why are so many Christians broke? Why are so many Christians got a dream or a dream of having something and never get there? Because they don't have the revelation. God has provided for your total needs. Man, listen, God provided for your wants. Now, a real good preacher will talk against this.
Yes, sir.
Who y'all call good? And you know it's got to be asinine and stupid to live in this world. A man say, you don't need to hear about no money. Is you crazy? Is you out your mind? Is you out your... You don't need to hear about no money. Is you crazy? What do you think that boy keeps trying to pass that test? He don't just love that plant.
That's right. Yes, sir.
The glory haven't passed that test because the glory won't get some money in his company. Shoo. All right. Say this with me. Jesus, at the cross,
Jesus provided
for me
total
and complete provision,
and I shall have it.
Lift your hand and praise God. That means your body healed. You're walking in divine help. That means there's no limitation in your finances. And et cetera. Say it again. At the cross,
Jesus
provided total, and complete provisions for me. Tell the person next to you. Tell them so they know. At the cross. Tell them at the cross. Jesus provided for me
total
and
complete
provision. Got it? You heard that? Jesus at the cross. All right. Now watch this now. Watch this. Watch this. Turn to John 10:10. It's a wrap today. It's a wrap today, y'all. Turn to John 10:10. We're going to wrap this up today. John 10. Hey! Let's wrap this thing up today. John 10:10. The thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy, right? He said, I'm come that you might have what?
Life.
And might have abundance.
More abundance.
More abundance, right? Tell somebody we're going there today. Right? Huh? We going there? Everybody leave your in abundant life today. Things that wouldn't work for you gonna start working. Doors gonna start opening. Promotion gonna start coming. Bodies gonna be healed. Miracles and signs and wonders gonna come. All over the place. Are you listening to me? Woo! I believe it, boy. I believe it. The day to day. Look, you got John 10:10, right? Huh? You there?
Yes.
The thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come. We're back at Ephesians 3:20, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, let me preach a little bit. You're back at Ephesians 3:20. I'm come that you might have life. You might have it more abundant. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that everything. According to the power that works in us. Wait a minute. We're going to read this. John 10:10. Read it. Stop. All right, that's half of it, right? Huh? Huh? Now you got to decide what side of the road you're going to live on. You hear me? I'm preaching on the other side of the road. I'm out of the ditch. I'm on the other side of the road. If we don't get a revelation, the church in the ditch. See? Now, your life coming out of the ditch this morning. Listen to me. Are you hearing me? Yep. We're going to get on the other side. The thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Ditch. But on the other side of the ditch, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, and I paid for it at the cross. Right? Now go to Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Come on, I want you to get this. I want you to get this. First word. Hold up right there. Hold up right there. Hold up, because y'all talking about next week, next month, next year. No. When it is?
Now,
because you are an eternal being, your life go in a cycle. It never disconnect from now. In the natural, you got a beginning and an ending, but as a believer, I'm living in eternity, so everything now, say now.
Now.
Now I'm healed. Now I'm blessed.
Now
my knees are met.
Now.
See, now, come on, I'm going to take you to another scripture. Hold that scripture. Let's go to another scripture. Hebrews 11:1. See, woo, Jesus. This is a now moment. Now faith is the substance of things. Look at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. Now unto him. Now unto him. Now faith is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Substance of things hoped for and everything that they've not seen. Now unto him. Go back to Ephesians. Because I gotta get this to my clothes. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, if we believe properly in the cross and get the right revelation, because it's according to the power that works in us. I believe in that statement, according to the power working in us, is the revelation of the cross. It's a revelation of the blood. It's a revelation of the resurrection. It's a revelation of the seated position of Christ. It's a revelation that I'm a new creature. It's a revelation that he sent the Holy Ghost to help me. You believe that? So, within all of that is my total and complete provision. Sit down now. Sit down a minute. Now, you know that thief we talked about in John? Go back to John 10:10. I want to talk about that thief a minute. You know that thief that came to steal and destroy? Now, I want you to write these words down today and look them up in the dictionary. Watch what happened here. Watch. At the cross, not only did Jesus give us provided total and complete provision for us, but at the cross, Jesus ministered a total, irrevocable, complete, eternal, permanent defeat to Satan. The one who began John 10:10 is defeated in your life. Look at Luke 10:19. Behold. That's a door opening. Behold means a door by door opening. Behold, open the door in the spirit world. Behold. You see it? I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and the power of the enemy shall do you no harm. Nothing, and nothing shall by any means shall hurt you. Wow. Total, irrevocable. In other words, he can't come back on it. Complete, eternal, permanent defeat to Caesar, to Satan. Come on, come on. At the cross, Jesus ministered a total, irrevocable, complete, eternal, permanent defeat to Satan. But suppose I don't have the right revelation of the cross. That's his aim. He don't want you to see the right revelation, because when the right revelation, you start walking on it.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you know you have that authority. Why would the Bible tell us, look in Ephesians 4:27. Do we have this ability? Neither give place to the devil. That means I can stop him. You see it? So any place the devil get in a believer's life is through ignorance, deception, or negligence. Why? Why? Look at 1 John 4:4. You have overcome them, little children. Why? Look at it. Get to it. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Why is Satan having this good time in the church? Because the church is not operating under the revelation of the cross. They're preaching and teaching and not doing. No evidence. No miracles, no sign, no wonder. No incurable being cured. Nothing. The Lord looking for something impossible. That boy said, the Lord, show me the glory. 92. From 67 to 92. Something happened. His brain didn't change that fast. I got to close. Every financial, economic, emotional, spiritual need had been provided by Jesus at the cross. Outside of the cross, there's nothing. I say it again, I'll say it again. The psychiatrist doesn't have your provision. A lot of Christians going to the psych now. They prayed. They read scripture, nothing happened. So they say, well, I'm going to the psychologist so he can teach me self-help. Self-help. Just think about it. Self-help. Deny yourself. Self-help. Deny yourself. Self-help. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Self-help. I've been down to self-help aisle and read many books. But the Lord told me to deny myself. Be weak. Be in infirmity so I can make you strong. Don't be too smart because you're not going to listen to me. Be in a position where you need help. I got my college degree and broke the Ten Commandments and the college degree too. I graduated into brokenness. I got the clothes, man. That's my original 7 minutes there? All right, I'm going to take them all. Now, if you understand this, I want to say these few things to you. If you understand that he is irrevocable, well, look at Hebrews 13 and 8. Am I preaching? Anybody know I'm preaching? Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ. Same. Yesterday. And today. And forever. In other words, he haven't changed his mind. So I'm still in power. If I keep my hand right, huh? At the cross, Christ provided everything you and I may need, right? Now, watch what I say now. Now, if you understand this, the following will be yours. Now, if you understand this, when the devil challenges you or try to persecute you, or to attack your body, remember, Jesus defeated him completely, irrevocable. He cannot change it. He cannot change it today, tomorrow, and forever. Jesus administered to him a total, irrevocable, complete, eternal, permanent defeat. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, Satan defeated in my life. Now watch this. You see the fact of the cross, of the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and seated position of Jesus? There's nothing Satan can do to change that fact.
That's right.
Can't change it. It's irrevocable. He can't return. It's eternal. He can't do nothing about it. It's a total permanent, and there's nothing else can be done. Now watch this. I'm going to give you a little picture of some of y'all in here now. If you're tired, if you're sad, if you're worried about your bills, if the devil have bind you in your mind, then get up. Get up! No, I mean get up. I mean right now, get up. Because some of y'all in that position. No, I mean get up. I mean, get up. Because y'all ain't going to tell the truth. Some of y'all going to say that. I'm all right, me. So just everybody get up. Get up. Let me read it again. If you're tired, if you're sad, if you're worried about your bills, let me ask some things. You're broke, if you're sick, you got confusion in your house, if the devil have bound your mind, then get up. That's why I told everybody, up. You up? Because Jesus, let me close, administered to him a total defeat. Come on. He is defeated.
He is defeated.
Totally.
Totally.
Right now.
Right
here.
Right here.
I get my breakthrough today. Come on, lift your hand and praise God. Wait, they say a little more. Permanently.
He can't do a thing about it.
He cannot do anything.
So the victory is mine.
I am healed.
I'm free.
I'm blessed.
I'm prosperous.
I'm going to give you a word now. Take it. It is yours. Take it. It is yours. Take it. It is yours. Lift your hand before Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Come on. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Come on, lift your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel anointed. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I got it, Lord. I got it. Say, I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you can either hear music or you can hear a monster talking to you. But there's music in there. There's deliverance. There's victory. There's a move from religion, tradition, to just hearing the word and not being a doer of the word. There's action. There's movement. Now, you move with the move. You know, some people, yeah, you need to repent if you sin. Yeah, we know that. But you don't need to hear that every 5 minutes. You already know when you're sinning, you need to get yourself right. Don't you know that? Yeah, you know it. We need to move on from the elementary teaching of baptism. Huh? Laying hand on the sick. The Bible called that elementary. We need to move on to deeper revelation of God, Christ, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the kingdom, the things of God. Do exploit. Hey! Aren't you sick and tired of being sick? Sick and tired of being broke? Sick and tired of seeing something you want and can't get it? That's not right. That's not God. That's the enemy. Lift them hands one more time. Give God thanks. Lord, we praise you. Thank you for this morning. We come together. Thank you. Glory to God. We praise you. Praise you for your supernatural powers. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in this house right now. I thank you for these men and women. I thank you for the children, the babies in the nursery, the little children, that your power, your supernatural power is passing through this place right now. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the cross. Thank you for a revelation, Lord. Thank you. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Praise. Praise. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You may be seated. I was getting in to receive the offering. I'm going to tell you something happened to me yesterday. Philip traveled with me a lot. Leroy got all them babies, so Philip take his place when I go. They don't want me to go by myself. Leroy got a bunch of young babies. So Philip go with me, and he called Leroy and told Leroy, I said, I promise you, I'll never misuse your dad when I travel. Some years ago, he called Leroy and told him that. And so Philip and I were standing out there, and you know, a man rolled up, he said to me, he's an 80-year-old man, he's a businessman. I don't know now. He told me he had 50,000 acres of land on it. I just listened. And he said, that RV you in, he says, what kind of investment you in? I said, I sow seeds. He said, sow seeds? I thought I was a farmer. I mean, I sow seeds. In the kingdom, in God's word. And the harvest come back. That's what I told him. He said, yeah, but what you invest in? I said, the gospel. We talk a few minutes later. He said, yeah, but what you put your money in to cause this kind of money to come back? I done told him, Philip said, what the matter? He said, if you talk a little while long, he had a nice RV, but it wasn't nice as mine. Yeah. Yes, and me and Philip were riding around on my Segway, them little two things with a wheel, you know. We were the only one out there had them. He says, that's like about $1 million coach. I said, it is. He said, what'd you put your money in? I say, I'm a sower. I sow seed into the gospel. What I want to tell you is that they don't believe. The world don't believe that the word works. But I'm a living witness. I held my gun. I said, see, we're talking from two different stats. I said, you're talking from the natural. I'm talking from the supernatural. He still couldn't understand. He said, what you put your money in? How it come back to you? I said, just keep on coming. That really confused him then, you know. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, money coming. He said, oh, man, what that mean? You know, because he had invested in a lot of stuff, you know, to get what he had. And so it was the world wisdom talking to God's wisdom. So I just stood there because I didn't know how to answer him. He's a pretty smart man, you know. I just answered back, the Lord told me to answer. You know. And then I got on the front of my RV, be still and know that God is God. Now, in case y'all got some trouble with this, we're going to receive the offering, but I want y'all to look at Jeremiah 33:9, because with your crazy self, you need to be there yourself. Jeremiah, I'm just saying in a way, Janet, to make them hot, you know, 33:9, look at it, because y'all don't understand it, because y'all don't understand the cross, you don't understand the abundance, you don't understand what God, he sent me to tell you as an apostle that you don't have to be broke no more. He sent me to tell you that you can live the good life every day. And I'm not going to stop telling it. If you get hot or not hot, get hot all you want. People need it. Yeah, I'm going to keep on telling it. Now read read Jeremiah 33:9 and cuss God out. Stop cussing me out. What it said there? What it said? Hold up. And it shall be unto me a name of joy. If you broke and busted and can't get free, it is no joy to God. Because you're saying what he did is insufficient. I got to go somewhere else to get it. We rejoice for football players, boxers, rock singers. But a Christian got to be stealing something. Because God didn't mean what he said. A name of joy, a praise. Go ahead. Now wait. Watch what he used. The conclusion, what he's saying that would cause it to happen. What shall hear? Let me read this. What shall hear all the good that I do unto them? All the what? That man was in fear and trembling. How in the world this man preaching the gospel has a better RV than me? He said, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness. Hey! And what else? So stop, if you got a nice car, stop hiding it. Drive it up on the job. They can't fire you because you got a nice car. Stop hiding your stuff. Wear your stuff. I told Ken, I said, get that ring out. Somebody give him a nice ring, somebody in the vault. I said, man, that ring is not made to be in the vault. Now, if you need an envelope for your giving, lift your hand. Don't be sowing and not receiving. God wants you blessed. God wants you out of debt. Is that right? How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all receive that? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.